For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
When you make deals, I think you always hope for a long time, right? So, but for him is now, you know, he went back to Australia. He's going to play for a national team and he's going to go to Olympics, and then he's going to come back and, you know, for the first time he's going to be able to see his teammates, and we'll take it from there.
We're back with more Mark Grody and Alyssa Bergamini on 670 The Score.
And that was Bulls boss Arturas Karnišovas talking about the 11th overall draft pick, which went to the Chicago Bulls, Matas Buzelis, 6'10" forward from the G League Unite, local kid as well. He is a Bull, as we know. As we welcome you back in, Bergs, Grody, we are here with you until 9 o'clock tonight on The Score. Lots going down with the Bulls. Every day has felt big since I feel like the days leading up to the draft, and now more with reports coming out and things becoming a little bit more clear in terms of the path of the Bulls. And Mark Schanowski, who is a sports anchor for ABC7, play-by-play announcer for the Windy City Bulls, co-host of Odyssey's Gimme the Hot Sauce podcast with Stacey King. I talked to Mark last week. We just talked the other day, and that was before the draft. But Mark, much has changed since then. I hope I'm not overusing you, but like I said, much has changed, and it's great to welcome you back to the show with myself and Alyssa Bergamini.
Yeah, Mark, I requested. I'm like, he has to be on.
Oh, I appreciate that. Alyssa and I worked together at NBC Sports Chicago.
We did.
She's still doing great things in Chicago media. Her star is rising, so I'm happy to join you guys tonight.
This is why I wanted to have him on, right?
Yeah, no, you're saying all the right things here, Mark. That's for sure. But no, for sure, I appreciate you coming on. And here's what I'm going to pick up. I'm going to actually pick up. This is like the sequel to our pre-draft conversation. So I'm going to pick it up at something that you said during our last interview. Again, this was before the draft. You said that there was a 50% chance around, and this is just us guessing and playing sports talk radio, but you said a 50% chance the Bulls would trade DeMar DeRozan, and that was on the heels of the Bulls making the trade to get Josh Giddey on this team. Where would you put those chances now in terms of DeMar DeRozan being an ex-Bull or with the Bulls going forward based on what they have done in the draft and what they are signaling right now?
I'd say there's about a 10% chance that DeMar is back with the Bulls next season. I think that the only way he would return is if the free agent market completely dries up. And it's pretty close to that right now, especially among the contending teams. The Clippers have pretty much filled out their roster, and I know there's been some talk about DeMar wanting to go back home and play in L.A. The Lakers, you know, there's the rumors that LeBron would take a pay cut to bring in the right player. I'm not sure if he considers DeMar DeRozan that player, but I don't think even if LeBron takes a pay cut, they'd be able to free up enough money to entice DeMar to sign there. You know, like a lot of veteran players, 15-year veteran, he's accomplished so much in the game, he's not going to play for anything what he considers to be a fair salary. So if he were to come back to the Bulls, I think it would probably be on a one-year deal just because he couldn't find anything better out there in the marketplace.
Yeah, well, and that would be it, because you said, of course, he wants to be paid fairly, but I don't think at this point in DeMar DeRozan's career, going on 35 or whatever he is right now, he would want anything to do with what the Bulls appear to be doing. And that is, you know, as started by the Alex Caruso trade and the Giddey get and the Matas Buzelis draft, that they're going young at this point, Mark. And it doesn't feel like next year is going to be much of a winning season.
Yeah, all of a sudden they've turned into one of the youngest teams in the league, and that happened with just a handful of moves over the last few days. Of course, today's news bringing in 24-year-old Jalen Smith, a guy that Stacey King's really high on. He's been talking about him for the last couple of years. I know Stacey feels like he's got a lot of potential, and he's going to give them another option along with Nikola Vucevic at that center position. I think that you know, they're going to work in a lot of these young guys. It's probably take a step back this year and hopefully be able to hang on to that draft pick that they owe San Antonio for 2025. The next year's draft is projected to be one of the best in a long time. The pick that they owe the Spurs is top 10 protected. Ironically, it's the last payment from the DeMar DeRozan sign and trade deal, which happened in 2021. So sometimes you trade these future draft picks and you don't know what the ramifications are going to be. And the Bulls, I think, would be quite fine with finishing in the bottom 10 and being able to keep that pick in next year's draft.
Mark, I want to expand on signing center Jalen Smith, as you brought up this new buzzword of youth movement. Jalen Smith is 24, signed a 3-year, $27 million contract. And this was just overnight. The Bulls were at work overnight. He shot 59% in 61 games for the Pacers last season. So how do you see a player like Jalen Smith fitting in with the Bulls and, you know, a lot of new players that we're seeing coming into next season?
Well, Jalen Smith's a guy that's familiar to Big Ten fans. He played his college basketball in Maryland. Then he was surprisingly drafted very high in the 2020 draft. He went number 10 overall to the Phoenix Suns, and that was considered a bit of a shocker. He got traded to Indiana and finally got some more consistent playing time. And he played a meaningful role on their team, of course, that made it all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals. He's not a guy that put a big stats, but if you project him over 36 minutes, his numbers are something like 18 points and 10 rebounds. And I think that getting more playing time with the Bulls and eventually taking over for Vucevic when his contract runs out, or if he's moved on at some point in the next 2 years, I think he can give them an athletic 7-footer who can run the floor, who can make 3-point shots. And I think that's going to give them another option, a different look at the center position. I think he's also going to be a much better defender in space than Vucevic is right now. So I think it's a good addition, especially with the team going young. He kind of fits in with the trend they're on right now to be a team that maybe a couple of years down the road, if Patrick Williams continues to develop, if Kobe White continues to ascend and they get something worked out with Josh Giddey long term, you know, it could be an interesting, exciting young team in the East.
Glad you brought up Patrick Williams, because obviously there are heavy reports that Patrick Williams, 22 years old, 5-year, $90 million deal that it looks like he can get. It really is amazing. And this, the money has been big for a while in the NBA, and it's only going to continue to go up in the NBA. But it is crazy to think about us watching what Patrick Williams has been. A guy who has not averaged, has not averaged double figures for the Bulls in his career. 9.7 points per game, 4.2 rebounds in his career, some really, really devastating injuries as well, but still 22, and he gets massive money. And I just, do you think that this guy is going to blossom? Because I'm trying to figure out Patrick Williams and whether I like him still being with the Bulls at this point, considering he just really hasn't produced.
Well, we're going to find out over the next couple of years, because assuming DeMar DeRozan is not on the team next season, they're going to move Patrick Williams over to the 3, where I think he feels more comfortable. They'll run more plays for him. I think his shot attempts per game will go from, you know, something like 7 or 8 a game to 13 or 14, and he'll probably be a consistent double-figure scorer. The one thing that people are concerned about with Patrick Williams, besides the injuries, which have cost him a year and a half of his 4-year career, are that at times he just seems to float in games, you know, kind of a passive mindset. The motor doesn't run real high. But I think given a more meaningful role and having a place call from on the offensive end, I think we'll see a more aggressive Patrick Williams going forward. And as far as the contract goes, you know, with the new TV deal, the salary cap is really going to jump over the next couple of years. So when you look at his salary in terms of a percentage of the cap, it's not quite as overwhelming. You know, I think that a lot of fans were saying, well, what has he done in his 4 years in the league to earn that kind of money? Well, the Bulls are paying him based on their projections of what he can do in the future, not of what he's done in the past. And I think most executives look at it that way. I don't want to pay for past production. I want to pay for what you can do for me going forward.
Mark, there have been recent reports that the Bulls are interested in getting rid of Zach LaVine and Lonzo Ball's contracts, and that is a priority for the Bulls during free agency. Now, that is a heavy headline, but do you have any insights or thoughts on where that could go?
Well, they've been trying to trade Zach LaVine for quite a while, ever since his agent had said that they might be better served to try to explore trade options. Of course, that happened at the beginning of last season and when the Bulls were really struggling, and then Zach had issues with his foot that eventually led to a surgery. But at this point, with the new CBA rules, with the first and second aprons and teams being hard capped, there aren't a whole lot of teams that want to take on a contract that is going to keep going up. He's at about $44 million, and I think the last year is right around $50 million. And even though Zach's been a productive player, a two-time All-Star, Olympic gold medalist, a guy that's averaged over 20 points a game for most of the last half decade, teams just are reluctant to take on that kind of salary commitment. And I think his contract is more of a problem than his production. You've seen it around the league over the last couple of days where teams are trying to squeeze guys in and not being in a situation where they hit these different levels where it limits what you can do with your roster going forward. I mean, you think about the fact that the Los Angeles Clippers, their owner Steve Ballmer has more money than God, and he didn't want to commit the extra year to Paul George because what happens is when you hit that second apron, all kinds of difficult things happen to you in terms of roster construction. You can't trade multiple players in a deal. You can't use exceptions to the salary cap, all kinds of things that executives are trying to avoid. And that's become such a big issue. It's made trading Zach LaVine much harder now than it would have been if they had done it last November or December.
Hey, who was your I was thinking about you the other night during our draft show that Chuck and I did. Who was your big man guy? Alil or something like
Khalil
that?
Khalil Ware.
Yeah.
He went to the Miami Heat with the 15th pick, and you watch. Eric Spoelstra will develop that guy. He'll be a force. He'll be playing next to Bam Adebayo. They'll have a powerful front line.
Oh, man. So, yeah, your prediction on him, like the fact, and you said that obviously not knowing he would end up in Miami, but that's a dude
circled. I'm very happy with Porzingis, though. I mean, he was projected to be a top five, top seven pick, and to fall to 11, you know, a kid who grew up in the western suburbs, played the 1 year at Hinsdale Central before going out to a prep school out east. He's 6'10", he can run the floor. You know, I got a chance to watch him play when the G League Ignite program came through and played the Windy City Bulls.
Yeah.
He is one heck of an athlete. He can run the floor, some very impressive leaping ability, has some great dunks in the game. Right now, he wants to get more consistent with his three-point shooting, but the kid's only 19, yeah. I think, in a couple of years. They're going to have a really good player.
Can he dribble?
Sure. Yeah, he's a good ball handler. Right now, the biggest issue is with what the Bulls are looking for. They're looking for more consistent three-point shooting, and at this point,
yeah,
he does not have the most consistent three-point shot. But when you watch him shoot the ball, you know, in warm-ups and stuff, he's got good form. It's just a question of more reps. And that G League Ignite program was kind of a disaster. They only won two games in the entire G League season.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of dragged down a lot of guys. You look at Ron Holland, who went number five to the Pistons.
Uh-huh.
He was also with that Ignite team. There were a couple other guys with that team that got drafted. So it wasn't a lack of talent. It was just there was a bunch of teenagers playing grown men in the G League, and they really struggled last year. Matter of fact, the program doesn't even exist anymore because with all the NIL money now in the colleges, they didn't need that kind of developmental program get guys ready for the NBA.
Oh, wow. So wait, that league that Modest was in is now gone?
That team.
Oh, that team. Okay.
The G League Ignite program was created. So
oh, okay.
For guys that, you know, didn't want to go to college but wanted to get ready for the NBA,
yeah.
They were allowed to get to make a salary and get paid while they train under NBA-level coaching, and that would get them ready to play in the next level. So, you know, they thought it was a good idea, and it was at the time, but now with some guys making upwards of $1 million a year playing college basketball, they really didn't need that alternative in terms of going to the G League Ignite because, let's face it, I think most of the guys that think the NBA is their future aren't paying too much attention to their classwork on the college level.
Hmm.
And what a cool story from him, because he is a Chicagoland native from Hinsdale.
Right.
And he said to, you know, Arturis on the phone, and just the translation of it, just he's excited and he's ready to win. And, you know, how cool it is to not only just move up in terms of, like you said, the G League that he was in, and now he's playing on the big stage.
Yeah, and it was great to see that scene at the draft. His whole family was there, and Modest was, you know, crying when he was interviewed after the pick. And I think his brother is still crying. They kept cutting back to him, showing his brother, who's also playing basketball right now, who wants to follow in Modest's footsteps. And, you know, I had a chance to interview Modest when he was here in the Chicago area in the G League season. Very mature young man. you know, likes his Chicago area roots, and I think that's going to make him even work that much harder to become a quality player in the league. And if you can get a guy that's 6'10", with that kind of athletic potential, that's the kind of player that I think a lot of fans have been waiting for the Bulls to add, because over the last few years they've been a very guard-heavy roster. It's nice to see them add some size with Bouzelis and now Jalen Smith coming in. It's going to balance out the roster. You know, I was looking at the way it projects right now. The last couple of years, it was almost all guards. Now you've got six guards, you've got five forwards, and you've got the two centers. So they're much more balanced, and I think it's going to give Billy Donovan and his staff more options in terms of how they want to put different lineups on the floor to match up with the opposition.
Yeah, I mean, you and I talked about that last week with the King, with Stacey, or about, I mentioned Stacey King because I said that he would probably appreciate that this has gone back to being a big, or not gone back to, but the big man is appreciated a little more again.
Well, it's just the fact that they can actually go out there with a lineup that can, you don't have to have a 6'5 Alex Caruso trying to guard Giannis or Kevin Durant. You know, you've got some guys that have some size to match up against the taller threes and fours in the NBA. And I think, you know, now you've got Torrey Craig, who picked up his player option, gives you a guy that can play the small forward and the power forward. Same thing with Julian Phillips. Patrick Williams will probably slide over to the three. And Bouzelis gives you a 6'9", 6'10 guy who can play some power forward. So the roster is more balanced. Let's be honest, they're going to take their lumps with a younger team. That's what happens in the NBA. The experienced teams are usually the ones that advance, especially in the postseason. So I'm not telling fans that the Bulls are going to be better than they've been the last couple of years, because this is a concession by Arturis that what he had put together didn't work over the last 2 years. I mean, he was very candid after the season and saying that he was going to make changes. And we've already seen that process start. There's going to be more changes before training camp opens in September. This is going to be a young team. They're going to take their lumps, but I think the fact that they picked a direction and they're going to be a fast-paced, exciting team to watch. You know, the thing about Josh Giddey, at 6'8", he can get a rebound. He can push it up the floor. He's a very creative passer. I think that they're going to be a fun team to watch, even though the likely result of it will be no postseason.
Mark, something that Mark Grody and I were actually bringing up earlier is that I haven't really heard the word continuity as of late from Arturis. And as you mentioned, you know, faster and a different type of a team moving forward. So have we moved on from that word of continuity? Are we now using the word youth movement?
Well,
what word are we using?
That was the buzzword for a couple of years. Yes. When he was, you know, trying to answer questions about why didn't you make any moves at the trade deadline, or why didn't you do anything on draft night. And I think that he felt with, you know, they had DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, and Nikola Vucevic, who are all-stars. And on paper, the roster looked pretty good, but the roster on paper didn't really translate after Lonzo Ball got hurt. Ball was the connecting piece that kind of made it all work. And when he went out with the injury, all of a sudden these players who put up great individual statistics didn't really function that well as a team. Well, now, you know, his buzzwords after the draft, he's talking about long-term success. That's what he's putting his hand on. Mm-hmm. And he's got a long-term contract, as does Billy Donovan and Mark Eversley, and they've got the green light from ownership to, you know, do what they think is best in terms of trying to build some long-term success, which in this reality is taking a step back over the next year or two to hopefully put this group together and maybe be a team in a couple of years that can compete with the better teams in the East.
I hope so. We're all sitting back waiting, and like I've said on record before, I do think that they deserve to try to build this thing back up, and hopefully they're taking it in the right direction. Mark, thank you so much, as always, for coming on with us. I did have Stacey King on briefly the other night. Unfortunately, our times didn't connect correctly, but he sounds very excited about the Bears. I know he was a big Justin Fields fan, okay. And he respects Justin Fields, but he was like, Bears, baby,
yeah.
Bears, baby.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Well, you know, Caleb Williams started his career at Oklahoma, so, you know, a former Sooner, he's good in Stacey's book. Stacey will get that number 18 jersey. He'll be showing the colors.
In fact, Tyler Farengol, hit it. What do you got for us?
It's going to be a big year for the Bears.
You're darn right.
It is, 10
man.
Wins. 10 wins,
oh,
baby. 10
oh,
wins.
Oh, there it is. 10 wins.
You heard it first. 10 wins.
I like it a lot because I think I have the Bears to win 12 games this year, Stacey.
Double digits. That's all we want. Double digits.
Okay. There it is. There it is, guys.
Stacey King.
Yes, I forgot he made a prediction. I just want you to be ready on the Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast, Schanowski. Be ready. I mean, you think he's going to want to talk all Bulls? I don't think so. He might just start talking Bears. You better be ready.
Hey, we're counting them down. July 16th, rookies report. So, you know, yes. we're looking forward to it, Groats, and we're looking forward to having you back on the podcast.
Amen, Mark. Thanks for coming on, dude.
Thank you, Mark.
Alyssa, it was great talking to you. Continued success with your career. I'm one of your biggest fans.
Thank you, and I'm your big fan, so appreciate it.
All righty, we'll talk again.
Yep, take care. That is Mark Schanowski from lots of places, ABC7, the Windy City Bulls, the Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast, as we were just talking about.
Yeah, I worked with him at NBC Sports Chicago.
Yeah.
One of the nicest guys
that's
there.
That's right, yeah.
Every time I handed him his scripts, he was so nice.
Oh, yeah, and then you got some shine over there, too. I remember you doing that high school show over there, right?
I know, but my first job there was a production assistant, which is literally like building the graphics and printing scripts.
Okay.
And I was scared of printers for like years after that.
Oh, just because you were always stressed out having to do it because the printer didn't work?
They just come out fast and then you got to sort them.
Oh, wow.
You know,
you felt
things that you really just hit. Talk about hands-on printing.
I mean, I feel that stress though. Like when you got to do the
dirty
work.
Then I was a pro eventually.
Right.
But Mark was always so kind and is still so kind and love seeing him when I'm there covering the Bulls games. Always nice to catch up with him. And, of course, I love when he does the broadcast as well.
Are you excited about the Bears, too? Are you ready? Like, are you mental? Because I feel like everybody, we're in this
place. I think,
place
like,
right
Chicago
now.
Is just, like, so itching for the Bears season to start.
Always, but more
I mean,
so.
Actually, you're right. Always, but Soldier Field is just going to shake now.
Well, I feel like this portion of the off season used to be much more appreciated. When I say that, it used to really be the time, and to a large extent it is, where there's not a lot of football news, there's no OTAs going on, there's no mini, it's the calm before the camp storm.
You had a vacation prior and now you really don't.
Yeah,
but you're
pretty damn good.
But it's people are still so excited and antsy about the Bears. Like I still see Bears stories popping up left and right from my colleagues.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not like breaking news. It's just stories that they're putting out there because people are excited. Like none of us can contain ourselves.
I know. How long have we been saying just Caleb Williams, just like that name alone? I feel like for years we've already been saying
it. Yes.
And he hasn't even played yet with the Bears.
That's right. There's no, when none of us are disciplined right now, we are all hungry for it to get back because we all feed off of it. You know what I mean? Like the entire sports media landscape. And I don't do a countdown. And honestly, Alyssa, part of this is my own psychology here and talking to you about this is that I'm trying actually to enjoy this time.
Savor your off days.
Right, because July 19th, when I report to camp, like that's when my life, like kind of, that's my season. I have to like account for myself all day long, and I'm not doing as much with other people and all of that kind of stuff. So yeah, I mean that is that I'm trying to relax a little bit.
Okay,
but here I am talking about the Bears.
I won't tell you that the preseason starts in 38 days.
Oh, Bears! I'm so excited. We got to take a break. 312. But we have open phone lines right now.
Yeah,
we have decided to in this last half an hour.
Ask away.
We got things to talk about with the Cubs and the Bears and the Bulls and the White Sox and the Blackhawks. There was
some
news
associated
with them, too, that Stan Bowman, the ex-GM of the Blackhawks, is allowed now to seek employment again.
As well as Joe Quenneville.
As well as Joe Quenneville, if you hadn't heard those headlines yet. So that's going on, and we've got open phone lines, 312-644-6767. It's Bergs, it's Grody, it's Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Thanks, everybody. The Bear.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back with more Mark Grody and Alyssa Bergamini on 670 The Score.
A simple way to listen to Mully and Haw Bernstein and Holmes, Parkins and Spiegel, and everything the Score has to offer is with the free Odyssey app. Follow 670 The Score in the Odyssey app and take us wherever you may go. I'm Mark Grody along with Alyssa Bergamini, and we were just talking about the Bears a second ago and the itch that is there for most people who don't have enough discipline to not talk about the Bears. That includes me. I think about the Bears every day.
You're ready to jump out of your seat here. I see it.
I didn't have, again, this is the second straight show where I didn't have a Bears topic, but a Bears topic arose, and you, Bergamini, have a little something that on the Bears that you were itching to discuss.
Well, I like bringing in like sports with entertainment because after all, sports is entertainment.
Absolutely.
And I had the privilege of meeting both Jonathan Owens and Simone Biles this summer. They couldn't be nicer. But the Bears are granting husband of Simone Biles, Jonathan Owens, time off from training camp to see the Olympics. And as we know, Simone Biles is a gymnast. She's returning to the Olympics in Paris. I mean, it is the biggest stage that you can think of. So that is just so endearing, so kind that the Bear said, you know what? You cannot miss your wife competing in the Olympics in Paris. So they are granting him some time off, rather permission. So they, I don't know if they wrote him like a little slip, said, you are free to go to Paris.
Here's your permission slip.
But I think no one should be mad about that. And if they are, then...
Hey, man.
You got a problem.
The only person missing out is Jonathan Owens. Oh, you want to miss Bears training camp,
he's
my friend?
Like, darn.
Yeah. Do you know what's going on? Does Jonathan Owens, does he know about Caleb Williams? Yeah. Does he know what's going on? Does he know?
In his first season with the Bears coming from the Packers.
There's been a change in the force. This is not the training camp that you want to miss this year. But
it says he'll be there for a short little time.
Okay. He'll be there when Hard Knocks is there with HBO.
Yeah. Pretty damn good.
I mean, they're going to want to talk to him probably, actually. Oh, I didn't, you know.
They had cameras when they were at the White Sox game. He was throwing out the first pitch, and she was there as well. She didn't want to steal any of his thunder, which I thought was so amazing of
her. You know what? That's more adorable than the Pina Colada song, but just for the record.
Now, every time I hear the Pina Colada song, I'm, of course, going to be thinking of you.
Yeah, I know. Well, I felt self-conscious because I felt like I didn't get as great of
you
a reaction out
across.
Of you. I got the point across. I didn't feel like I had you two, though, completely.
You
seeing
did.
It.
You
though,
did.
Did
you
I?
Did
I? Okay, because like I said, just the short version is I hated the song Pina Colada. You know the song I'm talking about. Until I learned what it was about, and it was just so heartwarming that now I like it because I like thinking about how happy it is that they're happy together.
I'm just so happy this was part of this broadcast tonight. But how do we get back to the Pina Colada?
Simone Biles? I don't know. Was there something in Jonathan Owens?
She wasn't drinking a Pina Colada. She was drinking the milkshake at White Sox.
Oh, she did. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good to hear.
Oh, I know what I was saying. How they had all cameras around them throughout the duration of him throwing out the first pitch.
Of course.
And how he's going to possibly miss Hard Knocks. No, he won't miss it.
Oh,
he'll
no.
be there.
He'll be there.
And then,
he'll
be there.
Hard Knocks.
Hard Knocks. That's right. The Hard Knocks cameras are coming. It's not going to, I don't think it's going to be nearly as big of a deal on the daily for us, those of us who are covering the Bulls. Like, well, it's just, they'll sort of just melt into the rest of the cameras that are out there. Watching the product, though, is going to be fascinating.
Yeah, are you excited for it? I didn't even ask you.
Of course. I mean, like, of course. Like that, I mean, number one, I honestly, I've never been a big fan of Hard Knocks except for the early days of it when it was a novelty, and I've kind of grown tired of it. But of course, now I'm back on the bandwagon, and I'll make sure that I record and watch every one. But I'm just more intrigued on a peripheral basis on what they're going to be interested in. What are they watching for? I know what's interesting on the Bears, probably better than the people.
Maybe they'll interview you.
Well, I mean, it's not out of the question. I mean, I doubt it. I mean, I'm not like a biographer of any of the players or anything like that. So
you cover the team, so there's a possibility.
I think the parts that media might be in is you might see us asking questions or just glimpses, and I don't think there's going to be anybody like, I don't think they're going to be like, well, here's what Mark Grody thinks about it. Here's Chris Emma now on the Bears. I don't think that's going to get like that because that's not really what they're going for.
Right.
But you'll probably see us, and we'll see what kind of import they do put into the press conferences that go on and the questions that are asked. So who knows?
Yeah, and I think Caleb Williams is perfect for this type of situation because he is in that age group where they are used to the cameras in front of them. They're used to recording themselves in social media and not shy. And he seems like the perfect fit for, you know, someone that you'd want to watch and know the behind the scenes of. I think that's what makes it so intriguing.
Who is the person that you've interviewed in your career that you felt it? Like you were like, because you're such a big fan, or the
I
person
felt like
was,
I was starstruck.
That's the word I was looking for. I couldn't come up with it, and you just did.
I recently, as of like 2 months ago, interviewed Kevin Garnett.
Oh yeah,
The Big Ticket.
We played that. That's right. Jokes.
Yeah, right here. Right here.
Was it me? Me, you, and Ant?
Yes,
you did message me about that.
Oh.
And that one, it was originally in person, and then, you know, plans shifted and it was still, you know, it was over camera. And it's just one of those, you know so much about a person and then you know you only get, say, 10 minutes to talk with him. I had like so many questions and I actually was happy with the questions that I did get to ask him. I had so many that I had to eliminate. But that was one where I was like, I get one shot at interviewing Kevin Garnett. This is not like something that he does on the daily. And it was kind of the perfect scenario because the Timberwolves did make it far. Boston Celtics, as we know, won the championship. So he just showed up with his puffy pink vest. He had his sunglasses on. I don't even think it was sunny. Just what a cool guy. And that was one, I would say, I had like the good jitters. You know, when you're doing an interview, I'm like, that was a fun interview. I did my prep work, the research, and it flew by. And I'm like, that was it.
That's
it was
awesome.
Kevin Garnett.
Did you ever feel comfortable enough during the interview to call him KG? Did you do that?
No.
Or did you say to him, like I did to Tevin Jenkins, say hi to your fiance for us? Did it ever get to that point in your relationship?
No, I think I said like the Big Ticket at some point, and I think that was as corny as I got.
Never went with
anything is possible, Alyssa.
I know.
Yeah. Anything is possible.
Well, I was just asking that just because, I mean, I think Simone Biles is a pretty outstanding, like that's a pretty good one to put
you
on
know
your
what?
Resume.
Okay, yes,
you know?
I was... I feel like I had like a girl crush on her when I talked with
her. I imagine so. One of the greatest female athletes ever,
right? She just like, you know someone from watching them and seeing photos. And she was just she was tinier in person and all muscle.
Yeah, just a little bundle of muscle.
And I think I did say like, hi, I'm a huge fan. Like, oh, she probably hates hearing that. But
I doubt it.
I was like, oh, like so excited for you guys to be here in Chicago. And they were like, we're so excited as well. She had these silver pants on. I'm like, I have the same pants, but you look so much better in them. Like, it was just one of those typical conversations. But she was so nice. Didn't stop smiling. Just good energy. You know, he seems like he has good energy as well. Yeah. He threw a good first pitch. So
okay. That's him.
You know, sometimes the athletes, they don't do well with the first pitches, which blows my mind.
Amen, right? You think that they're athletes. They can do this. But some guys are just specialists in their field. We got to take one final break. When we come back... what do we have left to do here still?
Tyler really wants to hear about.
Oh, yes. There are council. The people in Milwaukee, as the Cubs were in Milwaukee, a bad showing for Craig Counsell and what they're saying about Craig north of the border. So we're going to get to that next here. Bergs and Grody on the Score.
We're back with more Mark Grody and Alyssa Bergamini on 670 The Score.
We're here with you for just a few more minutes on The Score. It's been fun, Bergs.
This has flown by.
Yeah. I'm getting kind of emotional because it may be another year.
Our annual broadcast video.
Yeah, exactly. It was another poor showing for Craig Counsell in Milwaukee. Thank God. I can at least report this for the sake of Cubs fans who travel to Miller Park, not Miller Park anymore, whatever it is, and for the sake of Craig Counsell and getting knocked around by the fans there, the booing, that was the Cubs' final trip to that building this year. So the rest of the games against Milwaukee are at Wrigley, where it's a safe place for Craig Counsell.
And no elevators.
No,
not to bring
oh my
up that
God.
Story.
Yeah,
but
a bunch of people getting injured on the Milwaukee
American
elevator.
Family Field. That's what it's called now.
Yeah, American Family Field. That's right. AmFam Field.
Is that what they call it, or is that what you
call it? No. You know I'm slick. You
the
know.
AFF.
Yeah. Yes, the AFF. How about that? Like, I heard Was Braggs, Glenn Braggs, was he on the score today? Greg Bragg. Why do I do that? Sometimes I call him Glenn Braggs. Greg Braggs was on the score today from CHGO.
Correct.
He was one of the people that got injured. He was talking about how he hurt his knee very badly.
Yeah, it sounds so terrifying.
Yes, yes.
So they better work on those elevators.
Yeah, no doubt. But back to the good news that the Cubs don't have to go back there and take this beating from Craig Counsell, who is hated in Milwaukee. And my goodness, have the Cubs just, like, in terms of the Craig Counsell, like, if you're Craig Counsell, I don't know what he's really like. Maybe he's more sensitive than he lets on, but he's just getting crushed in this whole thing. You know what I mean? Like, the high-paid manager coming to the team that not only is not living up to close to expectations, but is getting their skulls thumped by the Milwaukee Brewers, the team that he came from, the team that hates him and was mad at him for leaving. Like, it's a 10-0 ball game right now for Craig Counsell. It just is. And I was listening to this was on Hit and Run the other day with Mike Esposito filling in for Matt Spiegel on the score on a Sunday morning. Sparky Pfeiffer from 12:50 a.m. The Fan in Milwaukee. I think that I listened to that and I realized, oh my, this is probably a pretty good symbol of what fans who are really into the Brewers are saying about Craig Counsell and the Cubs.
And, you know, yeah, y'all got the trader who came to be your manager, which is fine. For the most part, Chris Hook has just done amazing things, and I'm sure the trader would love to have him, but he can't. Well, I mean, you're learning it about the trader. His offenses suck, don't they?
Yeah,
he's not very good when it comes to offense for that guy. And, you know, you didn't really realize it when he was in Milwaukee because you just thought, well, you know, it's the lineup, it's the talent, lack of whatever. You know, maybe it's not all on him. First year gone, they have the best offense they've ever had when Counsell was here. Pat Murphy's offense this year is better than any Craig Counsell offense he ever had in Milwaukee. And you could argue he might have had better talent than what Pat Murphy is working with. Pat Murphy is working with a bunch of inexperienced kids that are trying to learn how to play the game at the major league level. Now, the biggest difference is this offense is just so much better under Pat Murphy than it was with the Trader. Pitching was good with the Trader for the most part, but the offense is completely different. And now that he's in Chicago, you know, he's taken that offense from last year and looks like he train wrecked it. So, not surprised.
Do you call him the Trader? Is the name Counsell ever uttered on your program, or is it always only the Trader?
Usually just the Trader, and that's how I refer to him in tweets as well. I was there booing him on Friday night along with everybody else. And then I realized that, you know, it's great to boo him, and I'm all about booing him. But when they introduced Pat Murphy, he got a huge ovation, obviously, in Milwaukee. I get that. But I'm trying to get this whole stand for Pat thing. I think we should stand and give him a standing ovation after we boo the Trader. I think that would make more sense. But, yeah, for me, the arrogance of still living here, after you take that job, that's over the top crazy to me. Like, I've encouraged people to boo his family in the grocery store if they see him.
Offensively, Terang at the top of the order has been great. But William Contreras, I don't know if I should be surprised by this or not. I mean, we had his brother here for a number of years, Wilson Contreras. But William Contreras has been amazing.
Again, Trader leaves, and look how things change. Terang last year was awful in his first year up. He leaves, all of a sudden he looks like an offensive player that everybody thought he was going to be coming out of high school, put together this year. Contreras, they were talking to the hitting coaches in a segment on TV this year about, you know, what's changed. They simply went up to Contreras and said, so what happens if you don't swing for a home run every time? How well do you think you could hit? And William Contreras goes, probably like 330. They're like, 330? They're like, then stop. And Kyle Hendricks, he was awful. Like, when Counsell, or Trader, sorry. So yeah, you got me there.
See, we got one.
Yeah, when the Trader said, okay, we're done, I was like, man, he must be really bad for the Trader to give up on him. Dansby Swanson use a bat still when he comes up said that? There's a rumor up in Milwaukee that he's not a Trader, that it might be the highest paid sabotage job in the history of sports.
Sparky Pfeiffer.
Oh, he's Sparky.
Oh, he's Sparky, all right. He's Sparky, yes.
I don't want to be on Sparky's bad side ever.
Don't cross Sparky.
I know.
That's so funny because Tyler, how long did that go? Was that?
That was
not long enough.
2:55 exactly.
So about 3 minutes, because I requested to Tyler, I said,
just go try to find every time he Everything. Condescended to or said something nasty about the Cubs. And just because I was like, wow, man.
Love that he just kept saying traitor, and I'm glad that Mike asked that question.
Yes.
So I was thinking that same thing, too. I'm like, he's not calling him by his name, is he?
That's like real, not joking around.
No.
I mean, we're always winking a little bit in sports. That was
Sparky.
Pretty close to like some real ass, like old school hate, man. That's Sparky
Pfeiffer. I got to look this guy up. I got to give him a follow.
Oh, Bergs, you're the best. This has been awesome.
This is so fun. This flew by. We'll be back together.
I hope so. You know, one or two a year is all we're
looking for. That's what we need.
Thanks to Chuck Garfine for coming on, Elise Menaker, Mark Schanowski as well, Tyler Farengold doing a great job producing for Alyssa Bergamini. I am Mark Grody. We will talk to you soon right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We
are hard-hitting journalists over here.
Yeah, Mark Grody, beautiful man.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
A score.
We're back with more Mark Grody and Alyssa Bergamini on 670 The Score.
We're here with you for just a few more minutes on The Score. It's been fun, Bergs.
This has flown by.
Yeah. I'm getting kind of emotional because it may be another year.
Our annual broadcast
video.
Yeah,
exactly. It was another poor showing for Craig Counsell in Milwaukee. Thank God. I can at least report this. For the sake of Cubs fans who travel to Miller Park, not Miller Park anymore, whatever it is, and for the sake of Craig Counsell and getting knocked around by the fans there, the booing, that was the Cubs' final trip to that building this year. So the rest of the games against Milwaukee are at Wrigley, where it's a safe place for Craig Counsell.
And no elevators.
Story, yeah, a bunch of people getting injured on the Milwaukee
American
elevator.
Family Field. That's what it's called now.
Yeah, American Family Field. That's right. AmFam Field.
Is that what they call it, or is that what you
call it? No. You know I'm slick.
AFF.
Yeah. Yes, the AFF. How about that? Glenn Braggs? Was he on the score today? Greg Bragg. Why do I do that? Sometimes I call him Glenn Braggs. Greg Braggs was on the score today from CHGO.
Correct.
He was one of the people that got injured. He was talking about how he hurt his knee very badly.
Yeah, it sounds so terrifying.
Yes, yes.
So they better work on those elevators.
Yeah, no doubt. But back to the good news that the Cubs don't have to go back there and take this beating from Craig Counsell, who is hated in Milwaukee. And my goodness, have the Cubs just, like, in terms of the Craig Counsell, like, if you're Craig Counsell, I don't know what he's really like. Maybe he's more sensitive than he lets on, but he's just getting crushed in this whole thing. You know what I mean? Like, the high-paid manager coming to the team that not only is not living up to close to expectations, but is getting their skulls thumped by the Milwaukee Brewers, the team that he came from, and the team that hates him and was mad at him for leaving. Like, it's a 10-0 ball game right now for Craig Counsell. It just is. And I was listening to this was on Hit and Run the other day with Mike Esposito filling in for Matt Spiegel on the score on a Sunday morning. Sparky Pfeiffer from 12:50 a.m. The Fan in Milwaukee. I think that I listened to that and I realized, oh my, this is probably a pretty good symbol of what fans who are really into the Brewers are saying about Craig Counsell and the Cubs.
And, you know, yeah, y'all got the traitor who came to be your manager, which is fine. For the most part, Chris Hook has just done amazing things, and I'm sure the traitor would love to have him, but he can't. Well, I mean, you're learning it about the Trader. His offenses suck, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not very good when it comes to offense for that guy. And, you know, you didn't really realize it when he was in Milwaukee because you just thought, well, you know, it's the lineup, it's the talent, lack of whatever. You know, maybe it's not all on him. First year gone, they have the best offense they've ever had when Council was here. Pat Murphy's offense this year is better than any Craig Council offense he ever had in Milwaukee. And you could argue he might have had better talent than what Pat Murphy is working with. Pat Murphy is working with a bunch of inexperienced kids that are trying to learn how to play the game at the major league level. Now, the biggest difference is this offense is just so much better under Pat Murphy than it was with the Trader. Pitching was good with the Trader for the most part, but the offense is completely different. And now that he's in Chicago, you know, he's taken that offense from last year and looks like he train wrecked it. So not surprised.
Do you call him the Trader? Is the name Council ever uttered on your program, or is it always only the Trader?
Usually just the Trader, and okay. That's how I refer to him in tweets as well. I was there booing him on Friday night along with everybody else. And then I realized that, you know, it's great to boo him, and I'm all about booing him. But when they introduced Pat Murphy, he got a huge ovation, obviously, in Milwaukee. I get that. But I'm trying to get this whole stand for Pat thing. I think we should stand and give him a standing ovation after we boo the Trader. I think that would make more sense. But, yeah, for me, the arrogance of still living here, after you take that job, that's over the top crazy to me. Like I've encouraged people to boo his family in the grocery store if they see him.
Offensively, Terang at the top of the order has been great, but William Contreras, I don't know if I should be surprised by this or not. I mean, we had his brother here for a number of years, Wilson Contreras, but William Contreras has been amazing.
Again, Trader leaves and look how things change. Terang last year was awful in his first year up. He leaves, all of a sudden he looks like an offensive player that everybody thought he was going to be coming out of high school put together this year. Contreras, they were talking to the hitting coaches in a segment on TV this year about, you know, what's changed. They simply went up to Contreras and said, so what happens if you don't swing for a home run every time? How well do you think you could hit? William Contreras goes, probably like 330. They're like, 330? They're like, then stop. And Kyle Hendricks, he was awful. Like when the Trader said, okay, we're done, I was like, man, he must be really bad for the Trader to give up on him. Dansby Swanson use a bat still when he comes up said that. There's a rumor up in Milwaukee that he's not a Trader, that it might be the highest paid sabotage job in the history of sports.
Sparky Pfeiffer.
Oh, he's Sparky.
Oh, he's Sparky, all right.
He's Sparky, yes.
I don't want to be on Sparky's bad side ever.
Don't cross Sparky.
I know.
That's so funny because, Tyler, how long did that go? Was that?
That was
not long enough.
2:55 exactly.
So about 3 minutes because I requested to Tyler, I said, just go try to find every time he
Everything.
Condescended to or said something nasty about the Cubs. And just because I was like, wow, man,
love that he just kept saying Trader. And I'm glad that Mike asked that question.
Yes.
So I was thinking that same thing to him. Like, he's not calling him by his name, is he?
That's like real, not joking around.
No.
I mean, we're always winking a little bit in sports. That was
Sparky.
Pretty close to like some real ass, like old school hate, man. That's Sparky
Pfeiffer. I got to look this guy up. I got to give him a follow.
Bergs, you're the best. This has been awesome.
This is so fun. This flew by. We'll be back together.
I hope so. You know, one or two a year is all we're looking for.
That's what we need.
Thanks to Chuck Garfine for coming on, Elise Menaker. Mark Schanowski as well. Tyler Farengal doing a great job producing for Alyssa Bergamini. I am Mark Grody. We will talk to you soon right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We
are hard-hitting journalists over here.
Yeah, Mark Grody, beautiful man.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center,
keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.